Thank you so much for joining us on the River City Church podcast. If you're blessed by this message today, we would love to hear from you. Check out our website at rivercitychurch.cc and let us know what God is doing in your life. If you would like to support this ministry financially, click the giving link on our website and choose the best option for you. Thank you again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message.
We love you, Jesus. Tell you what, if we just wake up in the morning and we ask God to just flood us with his presence, we ask God to just flood us understanding, being more aware of his presence. How many of you could use just a greater awareness of the presence of God every day? Did you know that whenever, the Bible says that whenever we lift Jesus up, he draws all men unto himself, meaning that when we just talk about God, when we make him the most important thing, when we recognize his ability to do what only he can do, the sheer ability of a human to just lift God up in the midst of a situation draws God into that situation. Isn't that cool? I don't know if you've ever been with your friends just talking about God, but a lot of times at our house, we just invite friends over and we just sit around the table and then we ask them to tell God's stories, because I like my kids to hear God's stories, because I think it's important that our kids are raised in an atmosphere where they are hearing about the ability of God to change things, that they are hearing about miracles. And that's like Jared was talking about earlier, that doesn't happen by happenstance. That's actually an intentional thing that we do, that we lift up the miracle stories of God and let our kids know God is able, he was able, he is able, and he will forever be able. So because I'm a preacher, I can get away with being very awkward about that. Nobody even thinks it's odd. So when people come over to my, you can too because you're a Christian. So whenever you, and it all started years and years ago, we would have preachers, or we would have missionaries over to our house. We would host them. And I would say, I want you to tell a miracle story, the best story you ever heard. Just the other night, Bob and Jane Evans were at my house. I said, I want you to tell me about the coolest thing you ever saw happen in church. Why am I asking them that? Because I want my kids to hear about the coolest things that God has ever done in front of people. And if I can take the time to listen and I can let them lift up the name of Jesus, do you know what happens? It draws God into my house. It makes him not just that Jesus that's up on the crucifix on my wall, but it now invites God into my family situation, that my kids have to actually think about the power of God and the works of God and the miracles of God. And how many of you know, as we edge into having kids that are teenagers, I want them to always be reminded that God is no longer just on a crucifix on the wall. I want them to know that God is living, that he's breathing, that he's alive, that he sees, that he hears, that he knows that they are where they are and that he's involved in our everyday activity. Doesn't that sound a lot more exciting to live like that as a Christian? See, whenever we lift up the name of Jesus, he draws all men unto himself. It draws God's attention to pour into people whenever his name is lifted up. And then the Bible says that he dwells in the midst of our praises. So every time we praise, that doesn't mean just a praise song, just a worship song. That actually means that when we lift the name of God up, that when we begin to say that he is mightier than our situation, when we begin to say that God is holy, when we begin to say that we love him, that he is worthy, that he is glorious, anytime that we speak good of God, he begins to dwell in the midst of our praises. And I don't know about you guys, but if I'm going to have anybody as a roommate, I want it to be God. I mean, if we're going to have someone in the house with us, I want it to be God. I've been in houses, slept in houses, been around houses that they had someone else there and it was not God and it was not comfortable. But when you allow God to fill your house with all of his good things, what you're doing is ensuring that not just you, but also your children, your family, your grandchildren, and everyone that visits, they experience God in such a real way that anywhere outside of his presence seems foreign. And they feel like an alien in that land. And they long to get back to the presence of God. Do you want your kids to be that, right? We want our kids to hunger and thirst to get back to the presence of God so that when they find themselves anywhere outside of that, it feels awkward and weird and like they aren't home. I want God's presence to be our home, don't you? That is all for free. None of that is even my message tonight. But it was a good one, wasn't it? I should write a sermon about such things. I will work on that for the next time. Tonight, I want you to go with me to the chapter of, of Hebrews in chapter 12. I think we should read the fine print of God, just his word, his fine print. See, God's not trying to trick anybody. He wrote all the fine print and then he had people bind it, protect it, and cover it for years and years and years, and then he handed it to us. And especially as Americans, how many of you would say that there are more than 10 Bibles in your household? Anybody? Absolutely. Yeah. I bet you that we have at least 60 Bibles in our house. And most people around, or a lot of people around the world would love to have one page of the scripture. But as Americans, we have this overwhelming luxury of the Word of God being in every part of our home if we want it to be. We can have the Word of God. We can have it on our phone. We have it in book form. We have it everywhere. This is God's fine print. Today I was taking what I thought was just a headache medicine, and I didn't read the fine print, and in this fine print there was a gargantuan amount of caffeine. So needless to say, we're going to have a lot of fun tonight. And my heart is racing out of my chest. The point is, you should read the fine print and you should know what things are all about before you ingest them, right? And that's why you should find a great church. And you should figure out what church has the Word of God being preached in it. And then you should go and you should plant yourself in that church, right? And you should settle in and you should let your roots go down deep and you should not unplant yourself. You should just stay in that church. You should just stay there and just eat of the Word of God every single week, because it's in that place, the Bible says that when we're planted in the house, not when we skip from house of God to house of God, but when we are planted in the house of the Lord, we flourish in the courts of our God. We bear fruit even until our old age. So I want to make sure that we are getting planted tonight and that the Word of God is being fed to you. So we're going to read some of God's fine print tonight. Hebrews 12. We're actually going to look in a couple different places in chapter 12 and chapter 13. So if you'd open up the Bible, and if you want to get out your pen and paper or take notes on your phone, you may want to write down some of these scriptures tonight, because it's not just one passage, but just a few that we're going to go through in these two chapters. As I read today, I was just inspired by a few different portions of it. I want to talk to you today about what we're supposed to do as believers, what this year is going to look like. How many of you are excited about 2019? I mean, we are about to embark on the fast, which is super exciting because it's going to start on Sunday and we're going to go for 7 days. Do you know why that's exciting? That is exciting for a lot of reasons, one of which is that it is 7 and not 21 this year. Those 7 days that we are going to put all of our attention on God, that we are going to have prayer meetings every single morning here in this campus, and then we're going to have prayer meetings in the Amarillo campus, and we are going to pray, and we are going to ask God to move in our midst, and people are going to get miracles, and things that people have been looking for breakthrough in, we're going to see it happen this year, and it's going to be exciting, right? And so we get so focused sometimes, I believe, on seeing things in the supernatural realm. We want God to do something supernatural. We have a hunger for the supernatural. As believers, we're supposed to have a hunger for the supernatural of God. But we forget sometimes that the supernatural is so huge and evident in the natural. The most natural things that we do every single week, God shows off in a supernatural way. And so the author of Hebrews is coming in to these people and encouraging them, because they have actually been fighting a fight of faith. They have been persecuted. They have been treated poorly. They have been had a lot of hard knocks. And the author is trying, because they have had such a good rapport of sticking to it and being strong and serving God and not giving up, that the author is obviously a little concerned that they might be wavering in their commitment to stick. And so the author of Hebrews comes in and he's encouraging them in their faith, encouraging them in their stick-to-itiveness, if you will. I don't even know if that's a real word, but it's a good word. I tell you, we made it up tonight. But he's encouraging, the author is encouraging the people to stay with it, to not faint in the day of adversity. Do not faint. You need to stick to what you have come to. And some of you guys this year, you're thinking, man, I have fought for something all of 2018 and we're at 2019 and I don't know if this is exactly what I want to do, but I want to encourage you tonight, don't give up. For he who faints in the day of adversity, his strength is what? Small. Your strength isn't small. You have the strength of God on the inside of you. You're not going to waver or wimp out or stop or stall. You're going to keep on pushing through, and God is going to get glory out of your life this year. In chapter 12, I want to start in verse 1. We're going to go through 1 and 2. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus went through everything that he needed to go through. He endured all the shame, and now he's sitting at the right hand of God, and he is petitioning God on your behalf. He is fighting for you every single day. Not only is God fighting, but you have a great cloud of witnesses in heaven, those that have gone before us into heaven, that are celebrating, that are cheering you on every single day. You know, some of you have felt like this year that you just couldn't get a break, that nobody was for you, that you were being left behind and everybody else was running ahead, and you didn't think anybody saw you, nobody told you that you were doing a good job, and you felt like you were fighting and going. But I want you to know this evening that there are a great cloud of witnesses in heaven that can see, and they are cheering you on in your race. I think one of the biggest things that the devil tries to do to us is make us feel like we are all alone. How many of you have ever felt just alone in the fight? Just alone. Just felt like there is nobody else in this world that even sees what I am going through right now or cares. But nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, God set up a cheering section for you. And they cheer you on every day, and you do the normal things, the Christian things, the stick-to-it things, and you don't think anyone sees, and all the while there's a cheering section in heaven. Sometimes when I feel alone, I like to imagine that cheering section. I like to imagine who's in it. I like to think about the people that I know loved me here on the earth and that are there right now cheering me on and saying, do not give up. You're going to love it here. Keep on going. You see, sometimes we think that this is the end, but this isn't the end. That is the end. That is where the reward comes. The reward will be seen and known when we go to heaven where we are fully known. I want you to skip down with me to verse 14. It says this to us. He's instructing the Hebrews, and he's instructing us. Strive for peace with everyone. Man, let's write this down as a point for 2019. Let's strive for peace with everyone. You know, sometimes you have to be a peacemaker, not just a peacekeeper. It's easier to be a peacekeeper because as a middle child, I was raised to be a peacekeeper. I can go between one person and the other. I'm negotiating the other one, making sure everybody gets along. I'm working each angle, trying to make sure that everybody just has peace. But that's kind of a peacekeeper. Someone that doesn't want to rock the boat or have anything happen, but it takes courage and it takes strength to be a peacemaker, to make decisions, to set boundaries, to do whatever it takes to bring you and your household into a place of absolute peace with God and with man. You see, people don't always cooperate with the peace that we want to have. They don't always want as much peace as we want. How many of you have that family member that just hates having any peace? I mean, there are those people, they just don't want to do it. And you think, I'm supposed to live at peace with all people. What is wrong with them? Are they my test from God? You know, maybe you're the one that just doesn't like peace. You know, maybe you just need a little chaos to keep it exciting in your life. And there's other people around you just hungry for peace. I don't know where you find yourself, but I do know that God has called us to be peacemakers. You see, the Bible says that where strife abounds, so does every evil thing. So in our house, and I hope in your house, we strive every single day to make sure that we are peacemakers, that we put the boundaries around our life to contain peace in the Gibson household. We can't control the world. We can't make everybody happy. We can't keep people from being angry. We can't keep family members from doing what they do. You know, the world gets to choose what they do, but we get to choose what we do. And every single day, we choose peace. I choose peace at all costs. I choose peace if I don't get to enjoy a situation and I have to leave to retain peace. That's all right. If I have to stop what I'm doing and change my route to maintain my peace, that's all right. If I have to change my way of thinking and adjust my attitude to maintain peace in my household, that's all right. But I am deciding that 2019 is a year of peace for me and for my household. How many of you would agree with that and say a big fat amen to that? You need to be a peacemaker, not just a peacekeeper. Some of you need courage. Some of you have too much courage and you can stir something up real quick. But some of you need to just have the courage to stand up for your family, the place of dominion that God has for you, and say, uh-uh. Not here, devil. We're not going to do that in this household. We're going to have peace at all costs. We're going to make peace. We're going to be peacekeepers. We're going to be peacemakers. We are going to be peaceful. We are going to have peace in this house. My kids know that if they start fighting in our house, I know y'all's kids never fight, but you know, preacher's kids, something's wrong with them. And that was a joke, guys. Y'all are asleep tonight. I'm not sure who I'm talking to. How many of your kids have ever had a fight in your house? Anybody in the room? Okay, that's what I thought. So my kids know that if they start fighting and fussing with one another, that I'll just stop everything. And I'll say, I don't care what it takes. We're going to make peace right now. We're going to be peacemakers because we will not allow every evil thing in this house. And your striving is affecting my peace, and it's affecting her peace and her peace and his peace. And we're not doing it. So everyone stops and everything gets shut off till you can act right and we can dwell in peace. And that's it. Why? That sounds harsh. It's not harsh. It's called dwelling in peace at all costs. I don't care if we have to stop everything and we have to just go down to the bare bones. God forbid we turn that television, those screens, and that game off, and we figure out how to dwell in peace. I have one child. I won't name them, but he's the male child in my house. He has a video game that he likes to play, and when he plays the game, he gets really aggressive and he screams a lot. So whenever he does, I go in the room and I just turn the button off and unplug it. Why? Because we are going to have peace in my house at all costs. We're not going to scream. We're not going to yell. I don't care if it's just because you're excited. If you are being unpeaceful in Jesse Gibson's house, I'm pulling the plug on you, because we are going to dwell in peace at all costs. Listen, it is a big deal. And if we can draw peace into our life and keep the chaos out, we can hear the voice of God. Did you know in a place of peace, you can keep offense away from you? In a place of peace, you can get better at being a parent, better at being a spouse. You can become a better friend in a place of peace. See, in the place of peace, God can speak to you. In a place of peace, you can hear his voice clearly. In chaos, confusion, and strife, no one can hear anything from the Lord. All you can hear is the voice next to you. I want to encourage you this year, hold on to peace at all costs. It says here in verse 14, Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. All of these things are just encouragements for the church in our everyday walk with God. Let us not let those unholy things come in and defile us. Let's live in a house, in a place of grace. Let's embrace grace every single day. You know what I'm talking about, grace. That unmerited favor, the thing you didn't earn, but God gave you anyway. The grace, that thing that enables you, the enabling power of a God that wants to encourage you every single day in your walk with Him. Don't miss the grace of God in your everyday. And then in chapter 13, it says this in verse 1, let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. I love this portion of scripture because it talks about let brotherly love continue among us. It's talking to the church. Let brotherly love continue among us. You know, in a world where everyone is offended and everyone is angry and everyone is ticked off at somebody else and everyone is full of hate for somebody else, we are to be a people that the Bible says they will know that we are Christians by our love for those around us. That's incredible. The way that they will identify us is the love that we show toward not just our people, strangers. Did you know that hospitality is actually the love of strangers? We think we're being hospitable when we invite our family over, but nothing could be further from the truth. Hospitality starts where stranger danger begins. We have a thing in our mind that if someone is not just like us, if we've never known them, if we don't know where they're from or their people, that we can't be hospitable to them. But the church is called to a different kind of life. We are called to embrace those that we do not know yet. You see, all over the earth, there are people that know Jesus. And there are people that are Christians and believers. And I've been amazed over the years as God's allowed Brian and I to go into different countries and different places. The one thing that you always see amongst Christian believers is a love for people that they do not know, and their hospitality in embracing them into their life and bringing them in to their culture and their in their place, their space. And I think that as River City Church, we should make 2019 the year when we love a stranger, when we open up our houses and begin to use our hospitality for God's sake. You see, because it's in those places when we open our doors. Brian and I pray this all the time over our house. We say, God, we pray that everybody that walks in the door would feel your presence in this place, that they would want to come back here, that they would feel the presence of God and know that there are answers here. We didn't start praying that when we became preachers. We started praying that when we got married because we were believers. And we would open our home up and invite people in and feed them food that we'd prepared for them. And we would begin to talk about our God. And some people that didn't know God were drawn in and knew and came to know Him because of that. Others that knew God but needed encouragement would come in and be encouraged. They've been encouraged over the years. Some people that need healing have come into our household and received healing in their bodies. We've had people that have come into our household and we just began to encourage them, and then God will give them a word that day. I don't know what it is that the people around you need, but God has called us to be hospitable. This is a word for somebody that you've known that you're supposed to do something more for God, but you haven't known where to start. I want to encourage you. You're the church. Open your household and feed somebody. You say, Jesse, I don't know how to cook. That is wonderful. I encourage you to order 10 Happy Meals and find 9 friends to invite over. See, God's not looking for excellent cooks. He's looking for people of love that will be hospitable to those around them and draw them in so that He can impact them, so that He can help them, says here that we should love, let brotherly love continue and not neglect hospitality. Remember those who are in prison as though the prison were with, or as though you were in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free. This is a good one. Are you ready? We're going to keep peace in our home. We're going to love God in our home in 2019 and be hospitable. It says here, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. This year, 2019, we're going to be people of peace. We're going to be people of love. We're going to be people of hospitality. And we are going to be people of gratefulness. We are not going to let the love of things overwhelm us, but we are going to be grateful for what is already in our hand. We're not going to let greed get a hold of us as the people of God. We're going to want more and strive for more so that we can bless more people, but we're not going to let those things attach themselves to us. We're not going to let our heart become attached to what is material, but we are going to reach out and say, God, I know that you're bringing more stuff into my life, but it's not about the stuff. I just want your blessing on my life so I can bless others around me. We're not going to let the love of those things attach themselves to us, but we are going to choose this year to be grateful. How many of you know that you need a dose of gratefulness this year? Just looking at what we do have instead of what we don't have yet. Not looking at what someone else has because I don't know, maybe they're 10 years down the road or two thoughts ahead of us, but I do know this, that what God has put in my life, it's a big deal, and I'm grateful for it. And this year, I'm just going to keep on looking at those things and being reminded to be grateful, just being grateful for what God has placed in our life. I believe as the people of God that if we will have peace, if we will have love, if we will open ourselves up to hospitality, we will just keep a grateful heart for what God has, that we're going to see a move of God like no other this year. 2019 is going to be incredible. I promise you that. All the last 6 months, I've just had a stirring in my heart knowing that God is on the move, that he is doing something incredible in our midst. I am excited. I can't wait to see all that God does in 2019, because I don't know about you, but 2018, I had to work hard, but I'm telling you what, I experienced more of God than I've experienced in years this year. 2019 is going to be an overabundance of the blessing of God in our life. But I believe this with all of my heart, that this year, 2019, River City Church, Owensboro, Kentucky, is going to mature like no other year that we've ever seen. I believe that God is maturing the believers in this house this year like no other year that we've ever seen. How many of you want your roots to just go really, really deep in God? And you want to be strong in God. I know you do. And you want to be mature in God. And you want to have a reaction that's a mature faith reaction. You know, I want to be faith fit for whatever fight comes at me. I want to live in peace. I want to live in love. I want to live with hospitality and always have room for one more. And I just want to be grateful for what God's placed in my life. I know you do too. So tonight we're just going to call out to God and ask of him. Maybe you have some really specific goals that you are looking to embark upon. Sunday is going to be the start of our fast. It's always a really great time for us to jump into what God has for our year. But tonight I just want us to pray that God would have his will and have his way in our heart, in our maturity, in our spirituality, that we would develop this year in a way that no one's ever seen us develop. We should never stop growing in God. Man, whenever I stop growing, I want to go to heaven. Just die and go to heaven. I want to keep on getting better every single year that God gives me here on this earth. You want to stand up on your feet? I'll pray over you tonight. You can ask God. You can talk to God on your own right now and just lift your hands to heaven. Close your eyes and just focus on him. Ask him for what you're believing for. But this year, Father, I pray that overarchingly in this church, we would be a place of peace. God, that this church would be full of believers that have contained peace in their life, that this place would be a place of peace, that it would be a place of growth, Father, that we would grow in our love, that we would grow in our hospitality, and Lord, that we would grow in our gratefulness. Father, today, I pray for your people. I pray, God, that you would lay on their heart whatever it is that you have for them specifically. Father, all over this building, every person, every team member, every volunteer, every tither, every person that is a member of this church, that Father, we are going up in 2019 and we are going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. You said we would have lost hope unless we had believed that we would see your goodness in the land of the living. So right now we say that we have hope, we have not lost it. We choose to believe tonight, God, that we will see more of your goodness right here in 2019 than we've ever seen before. Lord, we love you. We ask that you would cause us to mature and develop in a new way, in a strong way. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. If you agree, just say amen.